So today I'm in Guiseley with Lana Northey.
Hello.
And I haven't seen you for ages.
I know.
So it's really lovely. And we're going to eat lunch in a minute, but we're sneaking some interview time in first. So how and where did we first meet?
I think it'll have been in 2009, and it will have been at your church, I think, when I was long distance with Crispin and coming to visit for... So every other weekend, I'll have seen you for a bit. Over 4 years.
Is it 4 years?
Yeah, being long distance, yeah.
Oh my goodness, it was a long time, wasn't it? Do you drink tea?
I do indeed, although at the moment, because I'm dairy and soya free, I'm drinking tea with oat milk, which is pretty rubbish. But yeah, I do like tea.
Okay. And what's your favourite sort of tea?
Definitely Yorkshire tea, without a doubt. And I do like a good cup of tea outside. I think it tastes even more delicious if you're out on an activity with it, or camping, or watching people do things. I think an outdoor cup of Yorkshire tea, there's nothing better.
Oh, that's great. So how do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I think initially my response was I bristled a bit to the statement, really, that those were the two options rather than... I don't know that I think it's dying or sleeping. I think I see a lot of... fantastic Christians doing an awful lot of wonderful stuff in communities in England. I'm part of the Joanna Project, which supports women involved in street-based prostitution. That's a Christian project, and Christians Against Poverty. And I know lots of very committed Christians really living out their faith at the moment. I wonder if the statement's coming from a place of looking at how many people are attending church and numbers going down, which I think, depending on which churches it is a problem. But I don't know if I'd call it dying or sleeping particularly, or just maybe we're moving away from that model of church and maybe those kind of churches, because there's a lot of very packed out churches, if that's what you count as Christianity kind of going. But I think people living out their faith and making a real choice about it nowadays, so because it's not the norm, I think everybody that I know that's a committed Christian is really making a commitment. It's less of a Sunday Christians perhaps than they were in the past.
Really interesting. What do you think are the biggest challenges facing the girls you've had in your guide company over recent years?
That's a question and a half, isn't it? I think probably similar to the challenges that they've always been to. Well, guides are 10 to 14 year old girls, aren't they? So I think there's a lot of challenges around school at the moment, a lot of feelings of pressure. And I actually had guides last night, so I asked the girls and I said, oh, I'm being interviewed for a podcast, what would you say? And then it started off as the standard things that I was going to expect. So it was a lot around school and exams and tests. And one girl told me that they get sent home at the start of every term, their expected grades. And she finds that a real challenge to live up to it, because she doesn't think that she's that good, and the pressure that they put on themselves. And I think friendship's always been a huge pressure, and socially fitting in for young people. But I think that that's changed over recent years, how that looks. So with social media and the fact that when I was at school, I had to kind of fit in, and it mattered what happened at school or with friends. Whereas now young people are posting pictures on Instagram from their holidays, and if it doesn't look glamorous and they feel very aware of that, or if they're being picked on, they can't shut the door and have a safe haven of home. It's with them all the time and it's always on their phones. And I think that that's a real invasion in a way that it didn't used to be. But I think that people are the same and kids are the same. They've just got different media over which to follow each other and over which to live their lives. And also yesterday, what really surprised me was their social pressure around nude pictures that they were talking about. And this was 13, 14 year old girls who were saying that about 50% of them send nude pictures to boys, and that's what's asked for, which I hadn't realised. I knew it happened, but I didn't realise quite how prevalent it was, which is pretty shocking. And I think that's a really recent thing.
Do you have guidance about how to deal with that from the Guide Association, if that's reported to you?
Not that I've heard, but I've done other children's safeguarding things. So I've able to, I think I think one of the key messages that we were talking about with them last night was, well, don't do it, it's stupid, and this is all the reasons why it's stupid and it can back, and this is why it's illegal if you've got it on the phone. But the kids kind of know that. But I heard somebody that goes around and talks to schools about it, I listened to a podcast actually, and they were saying that the key piece of information is for them not to put their faces in it. So don't do it, but if you are going to do it, don't do anything identifiable that can be used to like bribe you in the future or can come back to you.
It's strange, isn't it? Because my children have social media accounts, but I did sit them down and say to them, look, whatever you put on there that's publicly accessible, your employer in 10 years' time is going to look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you need to know that what you're putting on there is appropriate. They are not going to mind if you put on 50 million pictures of the dog or kittens or stuff like that, because that's age appropriate.
Yeah.
But you need to think about what it is that you want to people to find out about you.
Yeah, and the girls were saying that that is a pressure of one of them who's 13 told me that she was called frigid because she wouldn't send a picture, and I was like, good, if that's what being frigid means, then you should own that and be like, yeah, I'm not stupid enough to send pictures of myself. And so actually we had a really, it wasn't what the plan for the night was, we were sitting around a campfire and we ended up having a big conversation about it, and I think that they're really aware and they're very articulate about it, actually saying that to be cool and to be accepted in the groups that they want to get accepted in, they're having to tackle doing things that they don't necessarily want to do, and whether, which has always been the case I think, but it's, they're very aware of that boundary and very aware of and willing to make some compromises. And the girls I was talking to say, but they would say that to the guide leader, that there's things that they draw the line at, but they were talking about sometimes like going to parties and having a Coke but pretending it was a vodka and Coke so that they didn't feel bad that they were doing the wrong thing, but people still thought that they were cool and would invite them back. And it's just, it's awful, isn't it, being a teenager? Why, who'd do it?
I remember being a little bit older and drinking tonic and everyone thinking it's gin and tonic, or putting more tonic in my gin and tonic.
Yeah.
And just from that sort of pressure, even, I guess, I think I'm more upfront about it now, but there are certain social situations where I probably would still do that.
Yeah, and maybe that's what they should be teaching kids in school, like how to get around it without, I think, just saying no is a really, really good message, but it takes an awful lot of self-confidence, and that's what 13-year-old girls are particularly struggling with. It's that real dilemma of wanting to fit in, but also wanting to stand out but not stand out too much, and to just pave that path while you've got all the exam stress, while you've got parents going through difficult situations at home, it's, and hormones surging. It's a really, really tough time for girls, I think.
Do you think there are ways in which the world they live in now, these girls, is better than the world when you were their age, though?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that things like tolerance is hugely different to when I was young. The fact that of different sexualities, different people go through different genders, I don't think it would be acceptable for somebody to make a homophobic comment in their schools now. I think somebody'd get picked on for saying something homophobic, whereas that wasn't the case when I was at school. They're very, very open about gender. There's a transgender boy at their school, and they all are just like, yeah, it's not an issue, that's just what it is, and if anybody said anything to him, they'd be serious, come back. And I do think, I know that social media and phones get a real bad bashing, but actually to find your tribe, I think that can be really helpful. If there's something that young people are interested in that isn't what their immediate peers are, you don't have to feel isolated on that, so they can find people online all over the country that share similar interests to them. The fact that you can stay really well connected and get support, and there are challenges with it, but actually I think it opens up a lot of doors for them, and especially with the Me Too movement and the it's being challenged so much now, any like casual sexism, I think the girls are getting really strong at picking up on, and they want the same expectations of men, but they know that it's not the case, that currently women aren't in the same kind of positions as men, and they want to do something about that, and they're confident that their generation will be different. I know my friend was telling me that her stepdad twanged his granddaughter's bra strap when she first started wearing a bra about 9, 10, and everybody in the room was like, nope, that's not what's okay anymore, the world has moved on, and they were not, and he was very taken aback that that wasn't the case. But I think that it'd be really interesting to see how that plays out over the next few years, because it's really in the news a lot at the moment, isn't it? It's a very hot topic, whether that manages to push right through and really get rid of some of that male behaviour that can be quite oppressive, and kiss chase and that kind of thing, I don't think goes down well anymore like it used to.
I think I see in my children, who are kind of a little bit above guide age now, but their world is very different, and most of it is better.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Most of it is better. And I think, I mean, kind of one of the sort of things that I'm reflecting on and kind of having moments of angst about is there was a girl in our school who was 12, and then there was this great big rumour that someone had slept with her at a party and that she hadn't actually been all that happy about it.
Oh, no.
I think if that had happened now, that the person who'd perpetrated that, because she was under 13, it would be an automatic rape.
Yeah.
And I think everybody in the school would have understood that.
Yeah.
And yet, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, we were just... Well, she was drunk at a party.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I don't know that the court system's caught up with that to the extent that I wish it had. I think we're getting that. Well, there's just been that big case in Australia, actually, hasn't there? Where the judge said, yes, the girl was raped, but the guy didn't realise he was doing it, so he got let off, even though her experience was that his wasn't. I think, and she was... as it were, the perfect victim. So she was a virgin. They couldn't go through trawling past her sexual past. She wasn't that drunk. There was all that. Everything was in her favour. She went straight to the police after, and he still got let off. So I think that I don't think our judicial system's caught up yet, even though perhaps the world has moved on. Still, very, very, very few people go to trial, and very even fewer get convicted. So I think we've got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. So. What sort of church would you like your son to inherit?
I would like him to inherit a very active church. I think one that people really work on their relationship with God, really know their Bible, and then do something about it. So go out, and I think there's a lot of challenges in the world where it is the welfare state struggling. I think the church has got a role to play in that, and a role to play in saying we're a safe haven for people to come. We have got the resources, we've got a wide network across the country. What are we doing? What stand are we making? What difference are we making to all groups of people, to vulnerable people, to people in poverty? I think I'd love him to be in a church that does stuff, that he can be proud of and show, live out his faith with a fellow community of believers.
So the last question, and the one which people tend to find most difficult, is what's your favourite thing that begins with T?
Well, I think there's two. The first one I'd say is I'm really into TED Talks at the moment. There's a TED Talk daily podcast that, while being on maternity leave, it's really nice to stretch my brain and to learn things and to be hearing from academics at the top of their field, and to really expand my understanding in lots of different areas. So I'm really enjoying TED Talks Daily podcast. And the other one is trashy television. Because I think that is something for me that, Chris would be horrified that I'm telling you this, but something that it really helps me unwind. And when life's stressful, I don't go and have a glass of wine, I go and watch something awful on the telly. And it's wonderful. It's a great way to relax.
When I was at home, when my second was a baby, we had satellite TV, which we have only had for a very short period of time because of the houses that we lived in and not being able to have a satellite. Uh-huh. But I would sit down and I would feed her, and when the older one was at nursery, and I would just sit down and watch 3 episodes of Ground Force.
Wonderful.
It was great. It was such gentle.
Isn't it? And you don't have to concentrate. It's just such a way to unwind. A guilty pleasure.
So we've come to the end of our questions, and I'm just checking where we are on the time. We're out in the sun, so it's hard to see the display. Thank you ever so much for having me here today.
No, you're very welcome. It's lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you.